today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I think you should write me an Oscar into it. I think we'd be good as like a gas station attendant or something.
I'll be a ranch hand. That'd be great.
That'd be good. Yeah, I couldn't make that role.
I would turn on the lights at night and wave to her into the other townhouse across the street, and then she'd give me a thumbs up and then a Tony Bennett hug.
Yeah,
that you're like in love, though you're alone, because it would get dark, and then I'd have to let her know by taking the broomstick and turning on the lights, and then letting her know I was safe.
So sad.
So sad.
So sad. So sad. Yeah,
but look, you've like the beginning of a Taylor Swift music video. I think there's one of those like hold signs to each other. Like, you're cute. No, you're cute.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
You know, we have a lot of people on this show, a lot of strong personalities, a lot of strong opinions, but there's one thing we can all agree on.
What's that?
This is a stupid show.
Well, and like a happy, stupid way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, that's high praise for me.
It's a great show.
It is, but it's just the silliness.
So silly.
It really, really is. And sometimes the silliness doesn't even make the air. It's just, let's talk and be silly for a little bit.
Please, please.
Happy Friday, everybody. Mike O'Mara, of course, as we've probably already surmised this week, has taken a few days to be with his family. But he'll be back on Monday with lots of good stories. He's actually got the Colburns at home. He's got his daughter with him. And his son has a birthday on Sunday.
Birthdays!
So I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about on Monday. Today, we have a very special talking head that we will reveal in a few moments. But first of all, I think we need to wish some
happy birthday.
Someone's having a birthday, I must say, and he's in his ultra modern apartment, penthouse level, 72nd floor in Fairfax, Virginia. Happy 37th birthday to Matt Bloom. Yay, Tony!
Thank you all so much. Thank you.
Oh, look, and there's Shannon, who really doesn't like Pony.
What a jerk.
That was a masked happy birthday, a masked bandit. Yeah.
So, it's your birthday. You woke up. Do you feel any older? How do you feel on this big day, this blessed day?
You know, for some weird reason, I always feel older the week of my birthday. It's like one more thing aches than
really?
The previous
year. Really, really.
Well, I wouldn't think you would have any sort of like constant pain or anything, because you're so thin and you've quit smoking. You're probably one of the healthier livers on the show.
Yeah, what are you carrying with you?
Not your liver, but I say he leads a healthier life. I should say. Yeah. Okay.
You know what? I carry my brain, my huge, beautiful brain.
Yeah. I would say your brain might be more of a burden on me than it is on you.
For those of you at home wondering why Pony sounds like this, we made an executive decision on yesterday's show that
yes.
From home, Pony is so monotone that we need to spice up his home, I would say, presentation and sound. So he now sounds at all times like this.
Yeah.
It's a cavernous apartment that makes it sound like this, you see.
Yeah. Well, what it is, it's the new sound of Matt Bloom.
Yes, exciting.
And something we can market, and this is really... this is not usually on brand for him.
No.
But it is really an exciting new era as you enter the second 37 years of your life.
Yes, very, very fun.
Can you give us the obligatory Sunday?
Yeah.
Sunday. Be there.
Hold on. Pad for 1 second. I can make that even better.
Please.
Okay.
So what birthday plans do you have, Matt?
You know what? I'm making barbecued ribs, delicious barbecued ribs. As soon as the show's over, I'm going to start on the sauce, and it is going to be an all-day affair, my friend. They're going to be delicious COVID-19 ribs. Absolutely fantastic.
Do you, are you going to have some sort of social distancing soiree?
Yeah. I'm going to have two people only, and we're going to be wearing masks for the most part.
Mm.
I mean, you can't wear masks anymore.
First name hands, last name sons?
You got it.
Gotcha.
You can sneak the bone under the mask. You know, you don't have to reveal it totally. So, Pony, get ready. I want you to do a Race Fans Hot Rodders for me. Okay, ready?
Race fans, hot rodders, this Sunday, be there or be square. We're going to have monster trucks and monster... I can't say what I was about to say, but if you're not there, you suck. Eat it.
Come out to the pony rally in Bud's Creek, Maryland.
Can you turn down your gain just a little bit so you're not...
Sure. Okay. How about that?
Yeah, now
we're can we try
that again? You just gotta, you have to govern your voice.
Right, okay.
So let's try that again. Take two, Sunday promo with Pony Boy Matt Bloom. And don't censor yourself.
All right, this Sunday, be there or be square. That's right, race fans. We're gonna have monster trucks and monster trucks. That's right, I don't even know what that means, but it's gonna be great. Be there.
I didn't expect that.
Wow.
I did not expect that at all. But, you know, it might be enough to bring me out to the event.
I thought he was going to say monster trucks and monster jugs. Like something
that's just completely inappropriate, right?
Yeah,
well, sex sells. It certainly does.
But he said completely. He went off the reservation. Oh, well, happy birthday, Pony. Happy birthday, man.
And I got to know, beef or pork ribs?
Oh, pork.
Nice. Not kosher. The other white delicious. Meat. The other white meat. But also, and I also want to offer congratulations to Oscar. I found out about it after the fact. I did not know it. About, but happy 10th anniversary to the Big O and Dukes podcast yesterday.
Super excited. Can I get up?
Yeah.
Sunday, Pony. Come on.
Sunday.
All right. That is correct. Thank you for highlighting that, Rob. Big O and Dukes as a podcast turned 10 yesterday. And
How long have you and Chad been together, all told?
So we started our first demo tape maybe in 2003.
Oh, wow. So 17 years. That's a lot. That's a good run, man.
Yeah. 2004, impressive. 2003, 17, 16 years.
Uh-huh.
Look, in this world of... attempting to navigate the politics and the market dynamics of terrestrial radio as we have here with the Mike O'Mara Show. The idea that I can still get together with Matt Cahill, a.k.a. Drab T-Shirt, and Chad Dukes every Tuesday now is a blessing. And look, it's sometimes I feel guilty, like I do on this program, that we get to do this for a living. And while I get to do this 5 days a week, I get to do that one day a week with them and still continue down that path. And our show has evolved multiple different times within I would say the last decade as a podcast.
Sure.
But I'm proud to still provide and still be part of such a wonderful team. And for those of you that are familiar here on the program, it's more of this in a different and with a different spin. It's hot talk radio.
It's what I think it is, essentially what made you and I want to get into the business in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, I was first drawn to music radio, but I never got truly addicted to it until they slowed down the playing of the music and increased the talking in between the records. That's what brings you in there. And I love that you keep it alive. I did laugh out loud on Chad's Facebook post yesterday where he said, today marks 10 years. Wish my other two partners cared.
I would say it's a constant narrative. We all care, Chad. We all care. It's a reminder because I remember prior to COVID-19 discussing this decade anniversary coming up.
Right.
And I remember talking to, if not Chad, at least Drab or maybe even the guys in one way or another of thinking about this is early. I would say January, early February where you thought you could actually have events. We've had events pushed back already. It's just, you know, this. And as I said to another friend yesterday, I said, man, am I the only one that feels like it's still early March? I can't believe it's midsummer.
Well, the other thing is that if you think about the discussions we were having in January and February about what's coming up, that seems like 10,000 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I have the opposite feeling.
Really?
I feel like I'm stuck in like Groundhog Day. Like when and I don't know if Matt, you feel this way because you come in on a regular basis, but it's like up, mask, wash, rinse. Office, mask, wash, ring. Like, and I don't mind any of that.
Well, and I'm glad you do it in the same order every day because I'd hate for you to come to the office and then wash and rinse.
But it's always like the that it's this constant layer of, and those that work from home probably, you know, you're better off not realizing this, that you have to, if you're not, you have to just contend for how do I continue to create and
well,
build
all
this
the
business,
variables,
right?
All of the variables have been taken from us. The X factor, the stuff that would be like, well, today I will do the stuff I always do, plus this. Well, the plus this has been taken away.
And for some people, it's no big deal. And other people, it's not. It's not... like we've survived through it and we thrive through it, so it's not like no one's like really a hero here. It's sometimes just best for business, and some people honestly just have to get out of their house, which I get. But it was surreal to see that and think back within my mind to be like, oh, like I remember talking about this and how important it was to all of us. Because it's a decade. Most small businesses don't last a couple years.
Oh, I know.
You know,
let
alone a decade. And TMOS celebrated last year, and we celebrate this year, and I'm blessed to be part of both families.
It's a milestone. You look at big names in show business that launch podcasts with much fanfare, and then after four episodes, they're done.
If you look at that picture, it's on my Facebook page right now. Just search Oscar Santana that I shared with what Chad shared with the two guys that don't care. That if you look at that room, and I don't know, like this is why I love Chad. He has everything. He knows everything as far as the show is concerned. He has a more photographic memory than I would ever have. But the picture itself shows us 10 years younger.
Yes.
In front of a bare table with microphones in an office with no HVAC that we barely got it. I think we traded it out with Mangarites to just like use one night a week.
And wasn't it hideously hot?
In the summers it was hot, in the winters it was cold.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that. Yeah.
Because they wouldn't turn on the HVAC to that side of the building because we weren't paying rent.
Because it didn't make financial sense.
Yeah, it didn't make sense, but we had shelter.
Sure. Shelter from the storm.
And then we made that into the bunker, and then we graduated to the nest, and the rest is history.
Well, you know, you look back, we're staring down 11 years, 10 and a half for this one, and think about how far we've come. Not only, not really, I guess I'm still in my living room, but we started in a living room, and we were all together.
What we're doing now, and if you're pulling back the curtain all the way for
pull
our
it back all the way, baby, do it.
When we first opened, when Mike first said, hey, I sold this house, I'm moving, figure it out, Fantana.
Oh, and also, we need to say that for the first couple years of this show, we met at Mike's house.
We're at Mike's house. Mike's house was a living room studio.
It was a living room studio.
So, you know, every show has its roots. And in Mike's defense also, him leaving, he had the confidence of us finding a spot to get. Because when Mike finally said...
Or he saw it as his way out.
No.
When Mike finally said to me,
after me, you know, I would say stalking him to start a podcast. He said, yes. That weekend, he said, what are you doing this weekend? I'm like, nothing. And he said...
And wasn't that the last weekend that you did nothing?
No. Probably. He said, come on down. We're going to go buy the equipment and build the studio. I was like...
Wow.
He didn't even hesitate. That was done. It was done and done.
And it was Guitar Center, and it was the following weekend that we realized one of the most important rules of podcasting, which is if you're going to build a studio, don't let Mike hang around.
He does get tense.
He distributes tension.
Yeah, he does. But look, I guess to go full circle here, and I know we have a packed show today. Packed
program.
We do.
Packed.
Thank you for highlighting that. Sending a big hug and I would say love to Drab T-shirt and Chad Dukeson for those of you who
congratulations to all three of you guys. Great stuff.
And are digging what we do over at Big O and Dukes. We thank Mike as well for the cross promotion. And we thank you for listening and supporting the program.
And as my father wrote on Facebook this very morning, LLTH.
Oh, very sweet. Long live the horde.
Yeah, exactly. Yay,
very cool.
Grandpa.
Very cool. Thank you. Woo. Very sweet.
So let's go ahead.
I love photos. Woo! With an echo.
Pony, can you do a quick promo for Big O and Dukes?
Sunday, or Tuesday, or Wednesday, or whenever they're going to record Big O and Dukes 10th anniversary. Don't be there. You'll get COVID-19.
Wow, that's not much of a promo.
Well, I mean, anywhere.
You're saying just listen is what you're saying. Just listen. How about you do that with just listen instead of COVID-19?
Yeah, please. Sure.
Okay, hold on. And do Tuesday. I know you got it in you.
Tuesday. Biggo and Dukes 10th anniversary. You can't be there, but you can listen.
Let's try it again. And this time, what I want, if possible, is I want Tuesday and then Tuesday.
I love the stage direction. This is great.
I want the second Tuesday to be a higher, more intense Tuesday.
Tuesday.
That's not what, as I've said before, yeah, you know, that's not what the client is looking for.
He's cut off. You're fired.
One more chance. Save your bacon. Okay, here you go.
Tuesday. Biggo and Dukes. That's right. Recording on Tuesday. That's all I can tell you. Goodbye.
Love it. You know what? It's Pony, you got his facts right.
Yes, that's all he can tell us. But also Tuesday.
How long have you been with the show, Pony?
I'd say 6 or 7 years. Almost.
Seven of the 10 years, and now we finally find something that he's really good at.
Yeah, we like it. We like it. Well, I would say, Pony, you were with us longer than that, right?
I mean, I was with Biggo and Dukes interning when I was 25.
Yeah.
So, I've been around you guys for a long time.
But I'm talking about like your sit in and be with us every day. Yeah,
when
type
did
role.
I invite you to TM? When was the first time you came and tinkered at TMOS?
Ooh, that would be probably 7 or 8 years ago.
Seven, 8 years.
Yeah. And that's when he started working on the new website update, was 8 years ago, and it just debuted. I was actually back and forth with Matt yesterday on a few things, and that new website, I got to say it again, looks great. I know a lot of people access the show through the app, and they probably don't even see the website. But if you next time you're in front of a desktop computer, go and see it, man. It is really a beautiful thing and a wonderful thing to navigate. Great work. You know what? It's your birthday, but they got the present.
The worst, Rob. The worst.
I don't know.
Pony, you want to take us to break?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
You know what? On that great segue that Rob just gave us, I think I'm just going to say thank you all for letting me be a part of this show, and let's just get started, please.
All right. I think he's lying.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Mrs. White, you've been paying our friend the blackmailer ever since your husband died under, shall we say, mysterious circumstances.
Oh, I didn't kill him.
Then why are you paying the blackmailer?
I don't want a scandal, do I? We had had a very humiliating public confrontation. He was deranged. He was lunatic. He didn't actually seem to like me very much. He had threatened to kill me in public.
Why would he want to kill you in public?
I think she meant he threatened in public to kill her.
Oh. What was he like?
He was always a rather stupidly optimistic man. I mean, I'm afraid it came as a great shock to him when he died, but he was found dead at home. His head had been cut off, and so had his, you know... I had been out all evening at the movies.
Do you miss him?
Well, it's a matter of life after death. Now that he's dead, I have a life.
But he was your second husband. Your first husband also disappeared.
But that was his job. He was an illusionist.
But he never reappeared.
He wasn't a very good illusionist.
All right, look, pay attention, everybody. Wadsworth, am I right in thinking there is nobody else in this house?
No.
Then there is someone else in this house.
No, sorry, I said no meaning yes.
No meaning yes? Look, I want a straight answer. Is there someone else or isn't there? Yes or no?
No.
No, there is or no, there isn't?
Yes.
Please!
Well, there is still some confusion as to whether or not there's anybody else in this house.
I told you there isn't.
There isn't any confusion or there isn't anybody else?
Either. Or both.
Just give me a clear answer.
Certainly. What was the question?
Is there anybody else in the house?
No!
No!
I suggest we handle this in proper military fashion. We split up and search the house.
Suppose that one of us is the murderer. If we split up into pairs, whichever one of us is left with a killer might get killed.
Then we would have discovered who the murderer is.
But the other half of the pair would be dead.
This is war, Peacock. Casualties are inevitable. You cannot make an omelet without breaking eggs. Every cook will tell you that.
But look what happened to the cook.
In fact, the double negative has led to proof positive. I'm afraid you gave yourself away.
Are you trying to make me look stupid in front of the other guests?
You don't need any help from me, sir.
That's right.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and now here's Rob.
Love the movie Clue. Live from Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. And from Leesburg, Virginia, Fairfax, Virginia, this is The Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends, is a worldwide podcast and radio show with a family of listeners who are unrivaled in their love and support for their program. If you're a first-timer, sit back, relax, and prepare to be entertained. And for our longtime friends, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for spreading the word every day about TMOS. From Sedgwick, Kansas, to Arapahoe, Colorado, from St. Charles County, Missouri, to Knightville in South Portland, Maine, and from Yardley, Pennsylvania, to Pozzuoli, Italy, TMOS is on the air and everywhere, so let's get started. I got to start by saying thank you to listener Karen Herman, who just this week got off the phone with Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone.
Ooh, nice.
And put her refi in motion. And here's the greatest thing, and I quote from her letter. I love this. He said, Mark said she was the fourth person today from TMOS to call Cornerstone. Four people in a day, and that's
fantastic.
Smart.
Thank you so much.
Because now is the time to do it. Rates are in a place they've never been before. Let's talk about your mortgage rate. If you currently have 3.25% or higher, you need to call Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial, and you need to do it today, because right now, 90% of homeowners have rates higher than the average going interest rate. Cornerstone First Financial's rates are so low, they've become a disruptor in the industry, and because their rates, service, and programs, they're unparalleled. They can do it all. They have the low rate guarantee, and they're a lender and a broker. That allows them to have the flexibility to approve loans that the big banks can't. This is the facts here. The interest rates on 30-year fixed rates have fallen into the twos. They're in the twos. This has never happened before. And if you want to get in on it, you have to call Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial and call him right now. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221, or online at Cornerstone First Financial. You do this now, you'll never have to refinance again. That's the likelihood, because the rates have never been this low. So whether it's a purchase or a refi, 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Cornerstone First Financial, personal attention from application to closing. Be like Karen Herman and thousands of other TMOS listeners. Save some money at Cornerstone First. Thank you to the folks at Cornerstone. And now, we teased it, but we didn't tell you who our talking head was. This is so cool. We haven't talked to her in months because she had to go home because of the pandemic. You remember her from our show. It's Dalia Haddad. Dalia, our former intern. How you doing?
I'm having Maddie and Pony drop off so we can have a nicer presentation here on the Zoom.
I think that's a great idea.
Dalia, listen.
Can you hear us?
Can you hear us first? She probably can't hear us.
Looks like she can't hear us.
Unmute your audio.
Unmute my audio. I'm so sorry. Let's try
Dalia,
that again.
Can you hear us?
Let's try that again. Oh, there we go. Thank
Yay!
You. Thank you, Pone.
Yes. Hi.
Okay. Much better. Much better. Let's try that again. If you don't mind. Let's introduce her one more time.
All right. I can. You know what?
Okay. Thank you.
Race fans, hot rodders.
Yes.
You want reverb? No.
Oh, okay. No. You know what, Pony? Why don't you do it from off camera? That'll be great.
Oh, it'd be great. Yeah.
I'm here to introduce our favorite TMOS intern, Dalia. Dalia, Dalia, Haddad. Welcome back, Dalia.
This is so exciting.
That's incredible. I feel so honored.
Oh, Maddie, we loved you too.
Well, it's so cool because
Maddie's an employee, a team member.
She was an intern.
No. Yeah, well, wow. You gotta let that go.
No hard feelings. I like Dalia better anyway. It's fine.
Well, you were an intern as well. We don't refer to you as an intern still.
Yeah.
Rob was an intern for Don and Mike.
Exactly.
You gotta let that go eventually. Okay.
But anyway, I want to say this. Mike, there are so many things that COVID-19 have changed in our lives. And one thing that is sort of under the radar, but Mike brought it up last week, we don't have interns anymore.
No.
Which is really a drag
to us.
Because of the fact that the interns, they bring a youthful energy and excitement.
And COVID-19.
And COVID-19. So we said, no more.
I'm kidding.
But Oscar, always a great idea, says, why don't you reach out to Dalia and see if she'll be our talking head this week?
Well,
and she was delighted to do so. So welcome back to the TMOS Airwaves, Dalia.
Thank you so much.
Dalia and I reconnected, I would say, about 2 weeks ago when I was at our M Street Podcast Village office, and I was walking around, and I was like, you know, I don't even know if Dahlia is like where she's doing, what her story is, if she's coming back, and it really it clicks for me because the Wawa down the street is a George Washington University Wawa, go Colonials,
yeah,
and when we first moved to M Street, I would say a year and a half ago, Dahlia's like, hey, that's right down the street from my my dorm. What a great location! I can come anytime, and then she never came over.
Of course not.
And then. And I was like, oh, I wonder what Dahlia is up to. So I cold call her,
uh-huh.
And I get what is her voicemail, and her voice. I thought I had the wrong number, and you could probably tell our audience why, Dahlia.
Yeah.
Okay, so my voicemail is a recording of my younger brother when he was about 7, going, "Hi, this is Dahlia's phone. She can't come." And his voice is as high as any little kid drinking helium almost. And I forget about it constantly because it's been the only voicemail I've ever had. It was the sure. first one that was made. And occasionally I will get a call from someone that's not a friend or family. And they're very startled by this obscene yeah. little child baby voice.
It's off-putting.
It seems to be opening up.
I thought I was like, is that a character voice? That can't be a character voice of hers.
That's rough. My personality lends itself to thinking I have a character voice in my voicemail.
Well, you tend to forget for a lot of years, my cousin Mark, his voicemail, it was entirely, you'd ring, 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 click, Mark's phone, beep, that was it. And I said, can't you just sober up and do something right for once, please?
So I invited Dahlia to, one, re-engage with the show. I got a chance to catch up with her briefly. And then I said, hey, look, if you have any creative projects, I can't wait to talk about them. Just because you're away doesn't mean you can't. And this really segues into, I would love to re-engage with all our interns in one way or another.
Well, most of them.
Dahlia happened to be top of mind. And Ethan, for example. Because
yeah.
Ethan had texted me, said, hey, are there any summer internships? If you're proactive... you will get my attention. Know that. And
funny, I haven't heard from Johnny.
And how is Johnny?
Johnny and I talk still.
You have your,
he's in a painting of the zoo.
Excuse me?
I've gotten into painting. It's one of my hobbies, and I'm not very good at it. And I was thinking,
did you do that wall behind you with
really
this
really bad painting of the zoo? And it's Johnny, and so I'm going to send him one.
Oh, that's sweet.
Oh,
that's
so you don't mean you're not like house painting.
No.
Like on canvases.
Oh, yes. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, it's awful. Oil? I've commandeered our entire kitchen, most of the dining room.
Oil or watercolor?
Oh, not even close. Like the $9 50 pack of acrylics that are just like, fuming in a way that would probably kill a small animal. Like just the worst version of Michael's retail. No, nothing fancy.
Okay. All right.
Got it.
But are you making great strides?
I'd like to think so.
Great.
I've gone through all of the genres of painting. So I did like a day of cubism, a day of surrealism, a day of realism, a day of all of it. And my mom will, you know, turn to me very lovingly, but a little bit bothered. And she's like, you know, it will take an artist a lifetime to complete one of these styles. You've gone through all of them in 6 weeks.
That's right.
Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. In your face, Picasso.
Yeah, seriously.
Dahlia.
I don't get the whole.
Dahlia, first I'm going to make sure I EQ your voice. While you talk, you'll hear yourself getting a little louder, so my apologies. On my end, I'm curious if you don't mind just taking our listeners through, I would say, your time right before you left until now. Like, what have you been up to, and how has this affected your overall, how your family, where are you now? People probably don't know. And
yeah.
then, like, what does it look like? I know that you don't have all those answers, but just in a thumbnail, the last I saw you and Maddie saw you and the team saw you and Rob,
yeah.
And you know, rightly so, even before GW sent their students home, you came in and said, hey, I'm so sorry to do this to you guys, but I'm leaving like in a matter of hours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting the flight out of here and I'm going back home.
Yeah, it was, so I believe it was Friday the 13th. Which is when I started the 5 stages of grief. And no, I'm just kidding. Right now I'm on 4, whatever that is.
That's called stage 4 of grief is calling to the podcast. That's the 4th stage, I think.
Yes, exactly. So I went home, and GW had hoped for us to come back in early April. And like a fool, I believed them. And I brought home two sweatshirts and my phone charger. And everything else I own is sitting in Washington, D.C.
Oh,
no. So my glasses, my clothes, I've been living in the same sweatpants for about 6 months now. And just like soccer t-shirts from 2014, because those are the only things that I had left in St. Louis. So I went home and I got back in March, did about 2 months of online school, finally finished up school, realized that my summer was going to be spent in Missouri. Really exciting stuff. And so through that time, I took a couple of little breaks. My one friend had to move out of college in Colorado. So we actually road tripped across Missouri, across Kansas, into Colorado, hiked a mountain, realized I was an indoor person, decided I just don't like the outside.
I'm sorry that you had to road trip for 8 hours or however long it was to figure out you didn't like hiking. You probably could have figured that out in your backyard.
I don't know about anybody else, but I fully romanticize people that like hike and bike and swim and are one with nature. And I'm like, yes, totally. And when you meet my parents, you're like, there's no way that those two people created an outside person. And so there I was at the top of this mountain covered in snow in mid-May, just like trudging up with 60 pounds on my back. And my friend Annie's like, isn't it amazing? We're going to go find a waterfall. We're going to do this. And I was like, I'm going to sit right here on this one patch of dry ground. And I'm just going to journal about how proud I am of myself for making it up this mountain. It was probably like an hour-long hike. I mean, not something to be proud of. But yeah, so I came home, slept for about 3 weeks to recuperate from this hiking adventure. And then I've been taking an online class, you know, trying to pick up some new hobbies, mm-hmm. writing, reading, painting, going on walks. My brothers are home for the first time. All three of us have been home in the last like 4 years together because my older brother just graduated college. And so that's been really nice to see them. So I'm trying
of good family time and probably unexpected family time. And your parents are doing okay? How are your parents holding
up? Everyone's good. Everyone's healthy, which is lovely. Taking all of this seriously, which is good.
So yes.
I think that could definitely cause family tension if anybody wasn't. But everyone's been good. And then going forward, GW wants to have us back.
Sure they do.
We'll see. Yeah. So my tickets, my $30 plane tickets, which are, cheapest they've ever been, are for late August. And so I'm hoping to come back. And then they have a modified in-person online schedule that they've started to think about. But at this point, anything 6 weeks out is just hard to finalize on.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I'm sorry, Oscar, go ahead.
So for me, it's got to be, because Rob, he's got everyone that has a schedule coming up that's, especially in college in one way or another,
right?
They're in limbo. But I guess for me, what struck me the most about you was within our conversation that you were so involved in so many different clubs and groups. You had so many creative outlets. You were in an improv group, and I know the team here at Podcast Village went to go see you guys. You worked on a podcast with Johnny on George Washington University Radio. You worked on this within this enterprise, Podcast Village. We're on the show,
right?
For a creative like yourself. It's probably, I'm not saying it's any easier or any harder, but it's probably a lot different than someone that's just like, I like being a homebody, no big deal.
Right.
Yeah, I think that very genuinely there is a level of, and I think anyone kind of when you're in that second year of college, you're finding your stride and you've realized, I've struck this balance of here are my creative outlets. And as you said, I worked at PV and I did, the show and was in a musical and was in an improv group and had this constant level of creativity pumping so that when my classes were very academic and very separate to that, it didn't feel one-sided. And so coming home, a huge part of my new obsession with Michael's Craft Store probably has been in an effort to find that balance again, because that's not easy.
Well, painting is a great outlet, but everyone knows, and I think when I think back on your appearances on the show and just hanging out with you, you're funny. And it's very hard to be funny while you paint. Painters are not funny things. Are you doing anything that allows you to express your sense of humor?
Ooh, exciting. Okay, so I have started what is believed to be by my family the worst hobby I've picked up. This is, I've decided to write a movie.
Nice. Of course you have. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's a movie about a man who murders a giraffe in a post-apocalyptic dystopia while on some like hunting trip. And then he has to try all these experimental drugs and he gets frozen in time. It's absurd. It's not
how does
good.
How does he kill the giraffe? He doesn't choke it because that would take forever.
Oh my, no, that'd be
big neck.
Imagine wrapping a noose around a giraffe.
I know. Up.
Or it would be funny for the book.
Very visual. So you yourself say the script is no good.
Oh, yes. Yes. Me and everyone who's looked at it, heard the premise of it, tried to read it, given anyone I've been excited to share it with, they're like, oh, this is not your round, kid. It is what it is.
Don't let him deter you. Keep forging ahead.
Yeah.
And the giraffe, he goes on like, do you know those like super fancy, I feel like they all work in oil or some sort of like energy company guys that have ranches where you can hunt exotics. So it's a setup like that. And this guy is up for a promotion, goes to this exotics ranch or whatever, and is told he can shoot the deer and accidentally shoots the giraffe.
I see.
Okay. Ooh, a mystery.
Ooh, that's the best response I've gotten, and it was just a noise.
Can you
appreciate it?
Enjoy it.
I think you should write me an Oscar into it. I think we'd be good as like a gas station attendant or something.
I'll be a ranch hand. That'd be great.
That'd be good. Yeah, I couldn't make that role.
So, okay, Dahlia. Yes. So you've caught us up on like what's happening and what's going on right now. You've picked up what seems to be a couple different hobbies. The painting side, is that something you did when you were younger? Or I don't know. I could see you writing a treatment or a script for a movie. I could see that.
All right. So I'm going to take you way back. In the junior kindergarten, which is like your preschool year before kindergarten.
Yes.
There is a painting easel next to the waving window.
Right.
And the waving window, when your parents leave, you can see them walking out of the building and you wave to them.
Yes.
And so I was, over the course of one semester of junior kindergarten, banned from both the waving window and the painting easel for various reasons. And I think this sums up why I was, you know, taken again. But I would wave for so long that my mom would be late to work. Because I would just sit for minutes and minutes on end.
Yeah.
And then the other kids wouldn't get a chance to wave to their parents.
Got it.
So I had to say inside goodbyes. Hence, I need to be an inside person. And then the easel I was banned from because I was such a prolific creator.
Yes.
I would make like 9 paintings in a day. And they were running out of supplies for the other children.
Yeah, again, with you, it's volume, volume with you.
Yes.
Long waves, lots of paintings. Oscar, when you lived alone as a young
latchkey kid.
Yeah, didn't you have a waving window in your townhouse?
Yeah, but see. The waving window in my townhouse.
Yes.
Was for the neighbor lady to know that I was okay alone. So
okay.
I would turn on the lights at night and wave to her into the other townhouse across the street. And then she'd give me a thumbs up and then a Tony Bennett hug.
Yeah.
That you're like loved, though you're alone, because it would get dark, and then I'd have to let her know by taking the broomstick and turning on the lights, and then letting her know I was safe.
So sad.
So sad.
So sad. So sad. Yeah,
but look, sounds like the beginning of a Taylor Swift music video. I think there's one of those like hold signs to each other. Like, you're cute. No, you're cute.
And also, I got to ask, Dahlia, you said that there's the new look of Dahlia Haddad for the summer.
Oh, yes. I'm blonde now.
Look at this.
This is so exciting.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very mild, but
I always thought you were blonde for some reason.
It is a mild change. Emotionally, it has given me an unprecedented and unacceptable level of confidence.
Oh.
Because,
is this the first time you've ever done that?
All the time now.
I'm sorry, I stepped on your line. Say that again.
You're all good. I have a pair of like short high-heeled sandals, and I went from only wearing Chacos. And then I became a blonde, and I would just like go to the grocery store in 3-inch heels and maxi skirts. And I was like, this is me. Choke it up, St. Louis.
So do, are you, now that you are blonde, are you having more fun?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just have to, whether it's placebo or not, there's a level of, I owe it to society to reinforce this expectation. By just being wild.
And you know, it really, it is, it's a high, it's a really, it's an exciting concept. I think I should dye my hair blonde. It would take so little dye. Just a little bit.
I think you guys would both enjoy it.
Well, Oscar as a blonde would be about the most horrifying thing I could even imagine. That'd be worse than the giraffe
It'd
movie.
It'd be a midlife crisis. It'd be a problem.
Dahlia, as we wind up here, anyone you want to say hi to or anything you want to say, it's been so great to talk to you again.
Hi, Mom.
Clever.
He's just in the other room. But
I was going to say, you don't need a podcast to
you
do that.
You can bring her on. Probably come on. Say hello.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone you want
to
bring on?
Would you like to say hi? So she said it from off camera.
I got it.
Very
stage
good.
Mom. Classic yeah. stage mom.
Yeah. Yeah, just thank you so much for having me. It's been great to reconnect.
Where's Dad?
I miss you guys.
Hello, where's Dad?
Where's Dad? Dad's at work.
Aw. You know, I got a chance to meet her mom and her dad in person for like an hour long. Make sure you take care of my daughter conversation.
Lucky.
And make sure that you're, you know, giving her as much opportunity as possible. And they were awesome. And they love it's.
I don't doubt it.
I don't know what a parent teacher conversation, conversation or a conference or whatever it's called, because my parents never went to them.
Right.
You know, they were working. But it was the closest I've ever been to in my life where I was like, Dahlia's doing great. Her math skills are fantastic. Her reading comprehension is off the charts.
Yeah.
She will be distracting to other students once in a while. But
sounds about right.
But overall, I see a lot of promise.
And the only thing is that at a podcast village, she can't be at the waving window. I'm sorry.
All right. Dahlia, we will be in touch soon.
Yes.
Great,
be safe.
Thank you
okay.
So much. Bye, guys.
Thank you
so much.
Have a good one. Miss
Thank you, Dahlia. Good to talk to her again. And maybe we'll have other intern visits. Not every intern. I'm just saying that right now. Some interns shall return. And we really appreciate it. Dahlia Haddad doing well in St. Louis. When we come back, Oscar wants to talk food.
Food!
And I love me some food, so we'll do it after this. It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
John Lubbock, the noted philanthropist, scientist, and first Baron of Avebury once opined,
"Art is unquestionably one of the purest and highest elements in human happiness."
Funding for the arts has dropped off exponentially lately. However, you can show your support and ensure your happiness by becoming a patron of the Mike O'Mara Show. For as little as $1 a week, you help support the mission of TMOS, providing snickers and giggles to those that get it. You won't get a fancy tote bag, but what you will receive is a chance to bring comedy into your humdrum existence during this pandemic. You also get the satisfaction of helping to ensure that celebrity impressions, MBA catchphrases, and antiquated references from the 1950s flourish for years to come. Just look for the patron tab at MikeOmeraShow.com to get started today. Invest in the arts, the comedy arts, by becoming a TMOS patron. Ensure your happiness by giving a little to laugh a lot.
You know, you never know what things that are said on this show are going to make you think of. I have something to tell you that I think you will enjoy. First, I want to remind you about Stamps.com.
Stamps!
One of our greatest sponsors. They've been with us since the inception of the podcast.
It's like they knew the pandemic was coming, which I know they didn't. But
well, it's true, though. For all our sakes, Oscar, we need to avoid crowds any way we can. But what if you need postage? This is the way to do it. Stamps.com is here for you. Anything you can do at the post office, you can do at Stamps.com. You print your postage on demand, skip the crowds at the post office. No human contact required. It's that easy. You see, Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer so you can stay hunkered down. And as if that wasn't enough, as they say, but wait, there's more. Stamps.com also offers UPS services with discounts up to 62%. And with Stamps.com, you don't have to pay UPS residential surcharges. Plus, 5 cents off every first-class stamp, and that's a wow. That's a bingo, as a matter of fact. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving you time and money and keeping you safe in these crazy times. So
bingo.
Right now, our listeners can get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. You can't miss, folks. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in TMOS. That's Stamps.com, promo code TMOS. Stay safe, my friends. Now, I do want to talk about food, but when you were talking about a parent-teacher conference, you made me think back to my days as a bald-faced boy in McLean, Virginia, and I went to Longfellow. No, this is when I was at Haycock Elementary School. And it's right there on Westmoreland Street, almost to Falls Church. And my folks split. As you know, Oscar, I come from a broken home. And my folks split when I was in the third grade. And I think fourth and fifth grade were sort of my acting out years as far as being a student at school. And I was a fairly good student throughout, but I used to get, remember, was A, B, C, D, or A, B, C, D, and then we had U, unacceptable. And
I never heard that. Jeez.
That was, because I think I think that F was probably considered like a little bit of a damning thing. Mm-hmm. So they went to U, and I got a U in self-control.
Oh my God, if we would have known then.
Well, I believe there have been many days, even in this most recent week, when Mike would have given me a U in self-control. But now there's so many layers to this story. My fourth grade teacher, so help me, her name was Mrs. Weary.
So all through elementary school, there was the risk of a U.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow. And so, well, I think when you're like in kindergarten and first grade, they do like pluses and checks. I'd have to think way back.
We had outstanding, satisfactory, and then N, I think, was...
needs improvement. Not bueno.
I'm sorry, Pony?
It's needs improvement.
Needs improvement, yeah. Someone's had a lot of N's in his life. I don't even remember that. Jesus Christ.
So Mrs. Weary, it got to be a thing where I was a loudmouth, and so she instituted a system where... She had a big yellow legal pad that she put. Do you remember there were clips, sliding clips above the blackboard so they could like put up charts and stuff?
I think by the time I got into school, we were getting into some digital boards.
Oh, the Promethean board. Yeah.
Well, I never got that. I got that in college, but when we were kids, they didn't have the sliding.
Well, I'm an old man and we still had chalk. And so... Matter of fact, one of the better gags from fourth and fifth grade was the chalk and the eraser trick, because you know the eraser was made of like rows of felt, and you could jam a little piece of chalk in it, so when the teacher went to erase, it just made more lines. But this would get
that old gag.
That would be the reason you get a U in self-control, because she would say, "Who did this?" And no one would say anything, but I'd be dying laughing. Obviously, it's me. Anyway.
Your respect for authority, really, your disrespect for authority stems back to, I would say, early childhood at this point.
Yeah, acting out. I'm just a victim of a broken home. And so...
That's an easy out. I love it. So nobody paid attention.
There was a big yellow legal pad on one of these sliding clips, and next to it was a red magic marker. This might have even predated the Sharpie. Mm-hmm. It might have been an El Marco, which was a different shaped magic marker. And if you misbehaved, your name was written on the chart, on the legal pad. And then if you misbehaved again, you got a check. And then again, you got another check. Mm. And with every I think just getting your name up was like a warning. But with every check, there was a different punishment associated with it. Like, I remember one check was like missing 15 minutes of recess. Two checks was having to write, "I will not speak out in class,"
just like
out
Bart
of
Simpson.
Turn,
yeah.
50 times. Yeah. So it was extended. And I figured out that I was on there so much that I would prefer to pre-write out the thing 50 times than miss recess. So if I got one check, I'd speak out again to get that second check.
Oh, so you've been gaming the system since like 1981.
The maddest Mrs. Weary ever got at me was when I got my second check and I actually had in my notebook already written out the punishment and I handed it to her.
Got it.
So she did not like that. And that's
when she not accept it? I'm like,
no, she accepted it.
Tear right up. What's this right here? I'll take this here. Oh, look. Sorry, bye. That's not going to work, Sonny. This didn't work. Tell your parents. Fine. I'll tell them what you did. This isn't going to work. This is the 10th time you've done this. I'm trying to teach you the future of America. You want to be a DJ? Fine. Not everybody wants to be a DJ.
I remember that we had the beginning of the school year, Mrs. Weary would give everyone an index card and you'd write like your name and your parents' name and their contact information. And I just know that I remember at least twice at the end of particularly saucy days, as I'd be leaving the classroom, I'd see the box of cards come out. I knew that my Oop. Mom would be getting a call.
Poor mom.
I know. Hey, but you know what? All's well that ends well.
If I got a call, and look, this isn't right because it's child abuse. If any teacher called my parents,
yes,
I like. I, there would have been a beatdown of beatdowns when I walked in that door.
Yeah.
What did you get?
I think invariably television was taken away.
Probably healthier.
Well, you know what?
Probably
people
happier.
Don't understand. You know what? This made me so mad. I remember in seventh grade once I was talking about being grounded and missing a TV show because it was on, and it was seventh grade, and this guy, his name was Eric. He was in my industrial arts class. He said, yeah, that happened to me. I videotaped it. I said, you have a VCR? Not fair! Because he was taping all the shows he was going to miss when he was grounded. I didn't have that technology. Just sitting in my room writing over and over again, I will not speak out in class. Anyway, blessings and hello to Mrs. Barbara Weary, wherever you may be. I wish you well. And all the little Wearies. When we come back, I promise we will talk about food, okay?
Please.
After this. Can't hold out that long.
And now with King's Things, here's Larry. Sometimes I FaceTime with myself. 9 times out of 10, I have mustard on my shirt.
Mm.
Let's bring back Night Court. Funny boy.
Funny.
Kosher pickles and whole milk. Game changer. Too many children, right? Gonorrhea. Not my problem. If you want funny, you want the TMOS bonus show. Go to MichaelMarysShow.com. Use your mouse. Buy it. It's good, okay?
I think Mrs. Weary has made my camera blurry. I'll fix it in just a moment. I'm sorry about that.
No worries.
Either that or I'm fading away.
No, put your hand up to it. Just your hand.
Your hand?
Your hand. Okay, now pull it back towards your face. There you go.
Ah, Oscar!
Mm.
You're brilliant. You're brilliant. You come up with brilliant stuff all the time.
Thank you.
One of the most brilliant things you've ever done is the TMOS Patron Society.
Yes!
And well, you know...
It was a group effort. Pony Boy and I.
Yes.
Yeah. Together. Yes.
But we you know what? Together. It's let him have his birthday. Let you have the idea.
Okay.
Because I think it's
more than him. No worries.
Folks, times are tough and we need your help. It's simple as that. Here's how you can help us out. It's the TMOS Patron Society. Simply put, we're asking you to lend a hand. Just go to our beautiful new website, MichaelMarysShow.com, and click the Patron Society banner and make a pledge to TMOS. $10 a week, any amount. It's entirely up to you. Even a one-time donation would be great. We need you, and you can make a difference. You see, your support is a testament to the fact that you want this show to stick around just like we do. Because if you're there for us, we will be here for you. So if you can contribute, please do. Your support means the world to us now more than ever. We appreciate you. I hope you guys know that. And we thank you, the TMOS Patron Society. So Oscar is he's not a foodie like me and Mike, but he does sometimes... An inner foodie comes out for him. What's this show you've been watching?
So it's in its third season. It's on Vice. It's called The Pizza Show.
Vice.
And
that's a great network.
And I would say 5 years ago it would be called The Pizza Show. So
only if you watch 3 episodes.
Yes. and I found myself yesterday around 11:30 watching this young man, probably, you know, I would say maybe 4 or 5 years younger than me, who hosts the show.
Okay.
And he does what the show says. They go and they taste fantastic pizza. And I sat there and I was like, oh, man. I got so hungry while watching the show.
Yeah,
I went to the pantry. I got a seltzer and I got some pop chips. And I'm mowing down these pop chips at 11:30 at night watching this pizza show.
Right.
And I'm like... And then if Shannon was next to me, but I'm talking to Santos, I'm like, Santos, we got to jump in the car and go to Bushwick, New York, to all these pizzerias in Brooklyn.
It's like in Brooklyn right now. The pop chips, were they at least like a pizza-flavored pop chip?
No. They were just regular pop chips, boring pop chips.
Ugh.
But the mindless, I guess, snacking that I try not to get into and I've been trying to be more mindful about is something that I always attempt to... like curtail.
Uh-huh.
But it didn't feel right. This time it didn't feel right to say no. I just kept mowing down those chips.
Yeah, you're trying to bury your feelings.
And watching this. And just for those of you out there, and Polly, if you're up there, man, I don't know how this works. I don't know if you got a FedEx it, but anything from Roberta's would be fantastic.
Really hard to ship pizza. I mean, if Domino's can't get it to you hot in 30 minutes, it's going to be really tough to get it to you from Brooklyn.
DeFara sounds fantastic. The old man behind making pies, I'll wait all day. And then we're going up to Hyannis, I would say on August 7th. We go through New York. I Google mapped how to get to DeFara's, and I said, well, and then the host says, Look, the old man behind that makes all the pies, he takes his time because he wants to make it right. And I'm like, well, if we drive at like 6, we'll get there by lunchtime. And if we get there by lunchtime, then even if it takes an hour for this pizza to be made, then how are we going to get involved?
Time,
right?
It as a bathroom stop. And then, say, Shannon, we got to stop and go to the bathroom for 90 minutes.
L-I is Lucali, right?
Lucali, sure.
This guy that owns Lucali, he's a man amongst men. He literally is like old Brooklyn. They're playing bocce ball. Like, I never had this romance about New York City. Like, I know a lot of people, like, they become Yankees fans just because they want to say they're from New York. And they're like winners.
They're like winners, yeah.
I just didn't. This is the first time I felt like, man, wouldn't it be cool to be able to get up and walk over to Roberta's and catch a slice, you know?
Yeah, it really is.
And I sat there and I said, is this what Rob and Mike do? Is this what foodies do, that they just like gorge themselves while watching cooking shows?
No, you don't necessarily gorge yourself. And you wouldn't have to gorge yourself if you had something appropriate to the thing. If you had even a frozen pizza, one or two pieces would have satiated.
Yeah, but do you have to eat that same food in order to like check that box in your mind when you get into that mania?
Sometimes yes. Sometimes yes. Like, it's very important.
What are the odds of you? Oh, this is next level BS. But I'm in.
Right.
If you're a lamb chop guy,
right,
and you DVR a lamb chop cooking segment,
right,
and then you're eating the lamb chops while they're cooking their lamb chops.
Yeah, you can do that.
Have you gone that deep?
I've never gone that deep. I have. You know what? It's more common. It's not something that requires planning ahead for me normally.
Yeah, but with your DVR, anything's possible. That's like double food porn.
It is.
Double porn.
It's like POV food porn.
Yeah, POV. They're making it. I'm eating it.
Ice cream is one of the greatest. If you watch like an ice cream show and you're eating ice cream while you're doing that, that's the greatest.
Personally for you? Like,
yeah.
So just tell us, please. I don't care if we go along the segment. That's fine. What have you done along that genre? If I had an uni and I had some dough and I had everything, my mom sold my uni. I get that back now after watching that show. I would have made a pie right there all day.
All day.
But I didn't have that, and I don't have an oven, so there's that.
I have watched pizza episodes while using my uni. It's almost like having an ongoing YouTube video or appropriate music for eating. Is that you're watching someone make pizza while you make pizza?
Okay,
it's a great, great thing.
What else?
Cooking for Thanksgiving. I like to have cooking shows on too. If you ever have to do like a full meal, it'll take a day. But if you do the turkey and the potatoes and the stuffing and everything, this is something you need company, because my family scatters. They got nothing to do with it.
So you set up the Food Network and you're good to go?
And you're good to go. And it's like having a buddy right there with you.
Because they're cooking Thanksgiving dinner as well.
Exactly. Ah. And you're saying, you know what? Maybe I will use a little fresh sage. Good call.
Maddie, we've discovered on the program that you're a foodie, and so is Matt Bloom. Let's start with Maddie. Have you done anything like this before? Because I know, look, for you pros at home that I've been doing this forever, I'm sorry. Like, this is just the first time I've actually felt like this is what their heroine's like. This is what they've been talking about all these years. This is why they are who they are, because if something I'm a cardboard pizza guy. Like, I'm a Domino's guy. Like, that's just what I've always known, right?
You're a chicken tender guy.
But seeing these guys make these pies, I was like, damn it, things can be better.
You know, I would love for you to go through the procedure, get that uni from your mom, and we still use mine all the time. Would you be averse to actually making dough from scratch? Would you do that?
No, it's after what these guys did.
You got to do it. And you know what? Pizza dough is not hard.
My neighbor... So we've got the uni, so I'm good. But for some time, my neighbor, and I didn't, this is all, maybe I've repressed this out of sheer jealousy or disappointment in my own life. but my neighbor, when they took their fence down and put a new fence up, because that's how nice neighbors, they do that when they just want a new fence.
Yeah.
And in turn, I get a new fence, which is great.
We're putting up a fence.
No. These
Oscar's paying for it.
No, these neighbors are awesome.
Okay, I'm kidding.
But they built a brick oven.
That's like next level.
Like a pizza place, right?
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Like, so that's what you see in these restaurants. I was like, the uni does that. The uni does that.
Yeah.
So I'm not averse to that, and I can get the details from you offline of how to make that dough.
Is this your next door neighbor?
Yes.
Now, the thing, that big spatula that you use to move the pizza in and out of the oven is called a peel. What you need is a peel with like a 17-foot handle, and then use their oven.
That had over some, the sort fence. Of, some sort of crank to turn it around so I actually get it in. It's not facing me.
Oh, it's not facing
that's
you.
That's not facing me. No, no. It's,
okay, then you need to buy the house on the other side. Is there another spite house?
Maddie, what have you done along these same...
Well, I watch cooking shows all the time, but I maybe I'm just weird, but I have such like food envy and I'm really competitive. So I don't usually like eat when I'm watching them because I know what I'm eating isn't as good as what I'm seeing. And I don't want to experience that. You know,
that makes complete sense. You know what? That makes sense.
I've never asked you to weigh in on this. Where do you weigh in on the Alton Brown show, Good Eats?
Liked Alton Brown. Very pretentious. I don't like the science of everything. You know,
typical.
I just want a good meal.
I know it. Yeah. Who's your favorite cooking person?
That's a hard one. I really like the competition shows, so they're not so much like chefs as just competitions.
She gets that from her dad.
Exactly. Yeah. But if I can recommend a show, Zac Efron just came out with like a food and travel show.
Oh, no. It's mostly abs.
No, it's really good.
Mostly abs.
And it's like all about that. Sustainability and food and health. I recommend it. It's on Netflix. Yes.
Get a delicious pasta dinner in my pants.
Ladies, you're going to love it.
It is top 10 on Netflix. I'll say that. Wait. Pony. We got to get Pony.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yes.
It's easy to forget. I get it.
It's easy to grin.
When your ship has come in. Sorry. I would say I can't watch the cooking shows that are about making food itself, like if they're just instructing you, because it's too boring for me. But I do like to watch the shows where people will go around and try foods, like Anthony Bourdain and Andrew Zimmerman. I do enjoy those shows, and I'll try to cook some of the stuff I see.
You ever pick up any tips or anything? You do sometimes?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You see all sorts of interesting things when you watch shows about like street foods from other countries.
Yeah. I think the traveling shows are depressing now because what do we got?
Oh, 2 years?
We just can't do it. But yeah. I can get to New York.
Yeah.
Right? I'm like, why not? Let's do this.
New York's a great food town. Oh, my God.
So you're saying Pauly, when he gets back from his 10th Caribbean vacation.
Exactly.
He won't be able to, because I know that you can get pizza delivered from, let's say, Chicago-style pizza overnight.
But it would be like where you would have to bake it when you get it. It wouldn't be cooked already.
But who could he walk in there with his connections and Pauly knows guys and like literally just say, can I get one uncooked? I'm going to freeze it for my boy, my Paisan Oscar.
If Pauly does that, a truck is going to pull up to your house and it's going to be open. It's going to be empty in the back, like in the movie The Irishman. I don't know what happened to the pizza. I don't know what happened. Door was locked. I don't know. I guarantee he could get you some. I don't know the ideal shipping way, but he could do it, of course.
I mean, I'll pay for it. It's just, what are we talking about? Overnight shipping now, I think, is like 19 bucks, 30 bucks, depending on what you ship, right?
Yeah, you could do it. Absolutely.
If one day ground's fine, it's New York. He'll get here tomorrow.
The only thing that's going to be tough is getting Pauly back from vacation. That's the only problem.
Can you imagine
there for 2 months
if they shut down the borders and Pauly's stuck in the resort?
I gotta get home. Use drive. All righty, Pauly, get Oscar a pizza, please. We come back. Oh, I've got something. You know what, Oscar?
Yes.
Take your mind off the food with an exciting new gadget. Your soul is full of them. I've been dying to tell you about this. We'll be back after this.
Can't wait.
Oscar's gonna love it. It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Say you were inspired by the promo of Matty Masiello rambling off the list of cheeses, and now you want to grill cheese yourself, but you also want to help out TMOS. Let me show you how you do it. First, go to MikeOmaraShow.com, click on the button that says TMOS Shopping Center. Then click on Target. They got everything you need for this project. Bread, butter, all kinds of cheese. Swiss, mozz, provolone, whatever you want. Say you need a new frying pan or a spatula. They got it. Say you live in a Georgetown Spite House and you need a new hot plate. They got that too. And because you're fat, let's throw in a bag of Kraft Baby Marshmallows. Now let me tell you, I got a Target Red Card, so they're kicking some money back to me. But more importantly, since you went to the TMOS Shopping Center, they're kicking some money back to Mike. Got it? Good. Now let's go back to the guy who would adopt the Target dog if he could, Mike O'Mara.
Sitting in for Mike O'Mara, it's Rob Spiewak. Hi. Oscar, can you use that hot plate to cook that pizza?
No.
I know, you need high temperatures. Hey, you ever wonder how much money you could save in just 1 year by switching to Harry's?
Oh,
it's amazing.
Tell me.
You could save enough to buy 26 fancy cups of coffee in New York City. Or enough, this is right in the copy, for 3 deep dish dinner pizza dinners in Chicago or enough to pay for 6 months of Netflix just by switching to Harry's. How, you ask? It's because Harry's delivers high-quality razor blades for as low as $2 each, and that is a fraction of the price of the leading brand. But even more important than the savings is the shavings.
I love it.
Harry's gives me, by far, the best shave of my life, and that is the gospel truth. Blade refills are delivered directly to your door on your schedule, with or without a subscription, with a 100% quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, you will get a full refund. And 1% of proceeds are set aside for nonprofit organizations devoted to help provide access to better health care for men and veterans. So, our listeners can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/TMOS. Here's what you get. A weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe that I swear will change your life and keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to protect your razor. So go to harrys.com/TMOS to start shaving better today. Harry's the greatest. Now, Oscar, yes, we've said it before, your soul is full of gadgets.
Gadgets.
And one of the gadgets that you can continue to use during the pandemic, because I think you can do it social distancing, is flying a drone, right?
Well, this is gonna be a painful
that's fine,
a painful conversation for me. I bought into the drone, I guess, mania probably 4 years too early or 4 years too late, depending on the way you want to look at it.
Right.
When before somebody flew a drone onto the White House lawn by accident in the DC area.
Accident.
I was able to go to any park in D.C. and just throw this thing up in the air and really enjoy some aerial photography. To the point that I think I had concept, and I had for, I would say, at least two realtors, before this was cool, taken aerial shots of their properties for their listings.
The video you did for Mike is legendary. The one you did up in Maine was gorgeous. And you used to fly your drone by that baseball field near your house, right?
Yeah, the one time it got dicey for Santana Air, as I like to call that time of my life, was when I flew too close to the Russian embassy.
Yes.
When it was still stacked and packed before we had that situation a couple years ago where they told everybody to get out of town.
Well, the Russians, they can be fussy.
Yeah, we didn't know they were going to mess with our election. I didn't know that was going on. I was just flying my guy around.
And by the way, I want to send a muffin basket over to the Russians for trying to steal our COVID research. Thanks, guys. That's helping. Come on. Whatever.
So, when that happened, that's when a Secret Service car pulled up near the field, and I scurried away like a cockroach in the night when the lights come on, when I said, well, now it's time for me to pack this up. And shortly then after, the firmware update that came to my drone said, oh, there's a geofence, a fake fence that won't let you fly anywhere, just like airplanes, near the district. So I had to sell it on the second market.
I think it's time for you to get back into it, because there's a new product that I think is really going to spark your interest. Have you heard of the TF-19 drone?
No, but I will Google it right now. What's up?
It is a flame-throwing drone.
Ooh. Damn.
Introducing the TF-19 Wasp Drone Flamethrower. The Wasp is built to withstand all sorts of conditions, both cold and hot. With 25 feet of range and 1 gallon of fuel capacity, the TF-19 Wasp can deliver over a minute and a half of continuous firing time. Designed to reach new heights, it wields an array of utility for professional users who demand tools that exceed expectations.
Not only is it a great idea, I love the announcer. 25 feet of fire for 90 seconds.
So, God, there's so much to do with
this
guy.
Are you in, baby?
So this guy came out. This is how close to the drone world I am.
Yes.
And, So this came out, I would say, last summer, and I thought not the actual commercial, but just the first pictures of how this guy would work.
It's an amazing. If you see the video, it's pretty amazing. It almost looks like special effects.
And it's not a quadcopter; it's an octocopter, so it's got 8 blades.
Octocopter.
Yes.
Pony, say it for me with reverb.
Octocopter.
And it really, without getting nerdy, It's supposed to do what it says. It literally goes to wasp nests so that you can't get close to, and it burns up what would be a pile of twigs and berries, but turned into a wasp nest.
And I think people also use it for like clearing land when you have lots and lots of land.
Yes.
But that it isn't exactly
what the slash work. And burn.
Yeah, not a lot of use for that. Say in Glover Park.
No.
Because there's
not a lot
of wide open spaces.
And to give you, I guess, a little more context on the cost, this guy's $1,500 right now. I see it online.
Right.
That's how much an early drone would. If you're lucky, you get out of there with the batteries and everything for $1,200.
Right.
I'm happy to see that the Amazons of the world are now testing in the States these prescription deliveries. Even in rural Virginia right now, where you see these drones leaving these prime centers and dropping off scripts to people.
Oh, wow.
At
yeah.
their house. And look, I know that they don't want to see a bunch of buzzing robots in the air.
Right.
But especially in this world right now, if you're alone or you can't get medication or something's going on, like the social this is what these devices were made for in the long run, outside of just peeping Toms.
It's a very cool thing. And again, it's the TR-19 if you want to go on, TF-19 if you want to go online.
We get $0 for it. But
we do, but I mean, you can take a peek at it. And yeah. The thing is, and I like that drone prescription delivery, because you can get your blood pressure medicine, but be careful, if the guy who's delivering it hits the wrong button, he's going to burn your house down.
I can't wait till 10 years from now, God willing, we're still doing this in one way or another.
Yeah.
That it's not, we're not even thinking twice about a drone landing on our porch or on our fire escape and dropping off a package. Like, if you want, right now I can call Postmates and get me a charger from the Apple Store.
Yeah.
I can get it literally in 2 hours. What if a drone could drop it off?
You know what? What if a drone gets Pony back into the studio because he's traveling by drone?
Ooh, better not catch on fire.
Octocopter. All right, I put together the final audio vault of the week, and we'll do it when we come back. It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello, Outlaws. This is Las Vegas legend Wayne Newton.
Wayne.
And I love
Wayne,
you.
Buddy.
There are a few things in life that I require. Peace, joy, and of course, convenience. That's why I like to listen to TMOS on Spotify. No matter where I am, in my downtown apartment visiting the Guinea Hens at Casa de Shenandoah, or on stage at the Sands, I know that my favorite TMOS troublemakers are just a few taps away. So remember, every night when your tuxedo hits the floor and you want some solid, marvelous entertainment, get your cellular telephone and grab some TMOS on Spotify. Just another great way to be a part of America. I wish you love.
I wish you love. The weekend is here. Tis Friday, and that means a lot of things to a lot of people. But to me, it means the Mike O'Mara Show bonus show. And we get to do the bonus show today, and I'll go ahead and tease it. I'm excited. It is the return of Cards Against Humanity on the TMOS bonus show. Always a lot of fun, especially because Maddie is so competitive. She will not.
Watch out.
Look out. Everyone, look out. But the bonus show, if you don't know what it is, it's a sixth uncensored episode that we do each and every week. Think about it. No commercials, no censorship, no rules, and it only costs you pennies a laugh. You got to do it. Just click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com. And here's something, a bonus. There are almost 500 other episodes of the bonus show. And if you've never subscribed, you've never heard this. This is like magic found content. You've got the time to listen. We've got the content. It really is a great marriage. Go and buy the bonus show right now. It might actually take away your drone sadness. The fact that you can't fly a drone, the bonus show can fix that. Besides, it's your passport to the assport. Copyright 2020 TMOS. Support the bonus show. It's good for you and those you love. I'm Rob Spiewak. I guarantee it. And now back to Hee Haw, already in progress. Today is Friday, the 17th of July, 2020, and this is your Woo! Audio vault. I wanted to start with this because there's a lot of bad news, a lot of stuff that's a drag out there.
Oh, no.
On Twitter, this will make you happy. On Twitter, if you follow Jeopardy on Twitter like I do because I'm hip, Alex Trebek posted a video. He looks great. And he's got a goatee now. And he has some very positive words for us. So here's Alex Trebek. Remember, not a year ago, people were all, they're talking about, well, who's going to be the next? Yeah, we really, really did. So here's Alex Trebek on Twitter yesterday.
For the first time ever, we are going to open the Jeopardy vaults and take another look at some of our favorite episodes. including the very first Jeopardy show I ever hosted, mustache and all. I'd also like to take this opportunity to give you a quick health update. I'm doing well. I've been continuing my treatment, and it is paying off, though it does fatigue me a great deal. My numbers are good. I'm feeling great. In fact, during the break from the studio, I even wrote a book that will be coming out July 21st. Ooh. I can't wait to return to the studio and start recording shows for the new season in September. Meanwhile, my wish for all of you, stay safe.
Isn't that great?
That's
that just
awesome.
makes me smile. So congratulations to Alex Trebek. Howie Mandel has been all over TikTok during the pandemic.
He has.
Doing sexy dancing. Oh. No, not really. He did some weird videos last week. And because people have so much time on their hands, they started this sort of internet rumor spread that they think Howie Mandel had been kidnapped and he was sending secret clues to his safety on his crazy TikTok videos because they didn't make sense.
Oh, okay.
But you see, these are people that didn't watch Howie Mandel in 1985 when he was a stand-up comic and didn't make sense.
Because they just know him from America's Got Talent.
And what's the game show? The
Not fast. What is it?
Deal or No Deal.
Deal or No Deal. Thank you
very much.
Yeah, deal? I was going to say with all the models
or No Deal. Oscar, you should not say that. Anyway,
they gave away money, not the models. Jesus.
You don't get to keep the suitcase either. Anyway, Howie was a very off-the-wall, nonsensical comedian back in the day, and he says, you know what? No, I'm safe, okay?
Hello, people of TikTok. I'm okay. I have not been kidnapped. Thank you all for worrying. There is no signs in this video. Nothing to figure out except listen to what I'm saying. I'm fine. This is crazy. Nobody's making me do this. And if somebody was making me do this, what are the instructions to do this? I'm fine, people.
I like the fact that he, like Pony, is using reverb.
This is like my pit. I'm fine.
This is, do you remember that, the podcast? I think you put me onto it, the Richard Simmons podcast or Finding Richard Simmons.
Yeah, Finding Richard Simmons, yeah.
So this reminds me of all of that, where at the end it was just a ruse. Richard Simmons was fine. He wasn't like trapped somewhere. But look, a TikTok, I don't know what, it's so hard to, like, I get into it. I love that, as I told Mike, that there's different options on there.
Yes.
But I'm interested to see from a user perspective and from someone that just is passionate to see what trends are kind of coming from media, because Instagram is releasing Reels, R-E-E-L-S, which is going to be their TikTok competitor. And that drops in about, I would say, 2 or 3 weeks. So we'll see.
Oh, man, I better start what working happens. Out then. Get ready for Reels.
You'll see what happened. You know what happened to Snapchat when you know, Facebook, for whatever they do, or Instagram, whatever they do, they take something that's working, they remix it, and then they make it their own. So
that's right.
We'll find out.
So take a lesson from Snapchat.
So look out for Reels.
Reels, R-E-E-L-S. Yes. All right. Oh, by the way, the people that are in charge of saying what we should and shouldn't eat, they've modified the guidelines for drinking.
Men should limit their alcohol consumption to one beverage a day, so now I have the other five at night.
So only one alcoholic drink a day, and Pony, for me and you, that's one bottle.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Of vodka. All right. This has been weird. Do you know the same company that makes Durex condoms also makes Lysol?
Oh, I don't like that at all.
Well, this is something funny that they're sort of coming out even during the pandemic. Durex sales are way down and Lysol sales are way up.
Mm-hmm.
So their profit margin is staying the same. And did you know that in 1963, the notion of Lysol was new?
Now, at the touch of your fingertip, you can help protect your home from household germs and destructive mildew. New Lysol spray disinfectant, the pleasant way to eliminate germs, mildew, and the odors they cause, even in spotless homes.
I just love the fact. Don't you think that the idea of spraying Lysol has just been around for a billion years? 1963 is not that long ago.
Yeah, well, I'm shocked that it was even around then. If you remember, our parents were still riding around in their cars with their kids smoking cigarettes with the windows up.
That's true. I like to say
no seatbelts.
Yeah.
None seatbelts. That's right. Yeah. Oh, and speaking of seatbelts, a lot of people are comparing the option of wearing a mask and how stupid it is to not wear a mask is to people who would refuse to wear a seatbelt. So talking about masks, We're not people that wore masks for many, many years ago, but someone who did was Michael Jackson kids. Do you remember Paris and Blanket and Prince?
Yeah.
He always had them in masks. Paris Jackson now says she's glad dad made her wear a mask.
When he was young, he would be in the studio and he'd look outside and he'd see kids on the playground, and he couldn't do that. And he didn't want that for us, so we wore masks. And I appreciated it. It was nice. Because we were able to go to like Chuck E. Cheese and Circus, and we could be normal.
So he was using it to protect their identity, and she appreciated it because it allowed them to have more of a normal childhood. They could go out and not be recognized as long as their dad wasn't with them.
Yeah, but if the little kid's wearing a mask, you don't know who their parents are. You just think they're sick.
Yeah, probably. And also, speaking of which, we've all seen the movie The Princess Bride. Why did this line not jump out to us before now?
Were you wearing a mask? Were you burned by acid or something like that?
Oh, no, it's just they're terribly comfortable. I think everyone will be wearing them in the future.
Everyone will be wearing a mask in the future.
Whoa!
How about that? Wow. Isn't that something? Let's close with this. You know, I think it's great that celebrities stay in the spotlight, especially the important celebrities, which is why I was so happy that from Big Cat Rescue, do you remember from the show Tiger King, Carol Baskin?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Here she is rapping for you.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. It's Carol Baskin and Howard Baskin at Big Cat Rescue, and we are here with the Crip Mates to wish Charlotte a happy birthday. Go, Charlotte. It's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday. We're going to sip Bacardi like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give a fudge that it's your birthday.
Is this cameo?
It is a cameo greeting. And also, I don't know, there's some people who probably haven't seen Tiger King, and I want to just clear one thing up. She and her husband, they're white. Okay, just so you know. I wanted to make sure.
Allegedly, she murdered her other husband.
Why do you have to bring that up? Allegedly.
How much does her cameo cost? If it's more than $50, I'll freak out.
I don't know.
Jesus Christ.
I'm such a leech. I just watch other people's cameos. That'll be. You know what?
Yes.
Pony, actually, she mispronounced your name, but that was your birthday present.
I don't want it.
I know that she called you Charlotte, but she meant to say Matt. Happy birthday. That's it, folks. That's your Magic Audio Vault.
$299.
Well, I would never spend more than $300.
What? We're in the wrong business. Jesus Christ.
Go, Pony. It's your birthday.
Somebody get a tiger.
We're going to drink some Bacardi like it's your birthday. Have a great weekend, everybody. That's it, folks. Thanks for joining
us. Happy Friday.
For another perfect episode of TMOS. Don't forget, you can always reach us. Messages for the mailbag can be sent to me, Rob, with two B's at MikeOMaraShow.com, or use the postal system. You can go Post Office Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. Please send us things. And don't forget to spend some time at MikeOMaraShow.com. Shopping centers there, patron banners there, everything. Thanks for listening, and join us again on Monday for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. For Mike O'Mara and Oscar Santana and Matt Pony, Birthday Boy Bloon, and for Maddie Masiello, this is Rob Spiewak saying so long, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.